You're never going to get to where you're going if you acknowledge fear. I think fear comes later when it's all over.
The voice of Marie Colvin, the late celebrated war correspondent. Colvin made her career working for the British Sunday Times beginning in the 1980s. She covered the horrors of war around the world for nearly three decades: Sierra Leone, Chechnya, Kosovo, East Timor, and Libya. And she died covering the war in Syria in 2012. Her story is getting new life again today with films and a book.
Marie was all about people, and she wasn't interested in the weapons of war, you know, the mechanics of the military, the, you know, the kind of geopolitics of the situation. She thought the only way that you could show the true horrors of war would go to the places where the people who suffer the most in war are generally the women and the children.
Photojournalist Paul Conroy traveled with Colvin for years, taking the unflinching, raw photographs that accompanied so many of her reports.
I think the results we were getting and the stories we were getting and the power of them was a combination of, you know, someone often said that the final story was often bigger than the two parts that were put in, you know, the words and the images. So it was just a unique way of working with someone that paid, that worked. I can't imagine going out now without her. You know, like I said, I still expect the phone to ring sometimes after a particularly bad attack. And Marie going, hey, get your shit together, we're going.
I distinctly remember meeting her and being completely starstruck because she's a legend, of course.
Lindsay Addario is a photojournalist who has covered most major wars of the last two decades.
The hope for any of us who cover conflict is that we make a difference in policy. We show people what's happening in places where they are not able to access.
While covering the Sri Lankan civil war in 2001, Colvin was struck by shrapnel from a grenade and lost sight in her left eye. After a difficult recovery, she started wearing an eye patch. It would become her signature. Many called her fearless, but there was another side to Colvin.
She had a lot of fear, and their strength was she overcame that fear and still managed to go in and do what she did. We'd be going through various zones. I always knew when she was feeling vulnerable because she used to go extremely quiet. She'd just sit and stare out of a window, and I knew that's when it was all racing round ahead. You know, the concept of what we were about to do.
Despite her fears, Colvin insisted on getting stories of human suffering during wartime. Her final assignment was in Homs, Syria. In February 2012, she gave her last television interview to CNN.
It's a complete and utter lie that they are only going after terrorists. There are rockets, tank shells, anti-aircraft being fired in a parallel line into the city. The Syrian army is simply shelling a city of cold, starving civilians.
Marie Colvin, I know it's impossible to stay safe, but please try. Thank you for talking to us.
Thanks very much, Anderson.
Just hours after that dispatch, bombs struck the media center, killing Colvin and French photographer Remy Oschlick. Colvin was 56. Her friend and photographer Paul Conroy barely escaped with his life.
I immediately realized I had to get a tourniquet and I was losing a lot of blood. So I had a scarf, wrapped that around my leg. Yeah, I found Marie and Remy in the rubble. I checked Marie and she was dead. And I could see that Remy was dead.
The quintessential struggle that any war correspondent, any photographer who covers conflict deals with is how long to stay, how far to go forward. You know, there is a line between what's relatively safe covering war and when you really go far and you're doing things that your other colleagues are not doing.
In the end, Colvin is credited as one of the first Western journalists to truly expose the extraordinary suffering the Syrian government was inflicting on its people. Today, Paul Conroy says he'd have a lot more to explain to Marie if he could talk to her just one more time.
I'd have to take her into a room, preferably a bar, buy her a drink, sit her down and, you know, break the news of what's not happened in Syria, what the world hasn't done. And then I think we just have to liven it up a bit and say, look, Marie, lots of people are saying wonderful, wonderful things about you. She was very modest, but she'd also love it, the fact that there's a feature film being made out of it and a documentary and Lindy Hilsum's wonderful book in Extremis. You know, I would say, look, you're sorely missed, but you're not forgotten. And a lot of people are doing their best to let the world know about you.
You know, I really didn't want to create sort of a one-dimensional portrait of a war correspondent. That's not who she was. You know, it's so easy to castigate these people as, you know, adrenaline junkie, thrill-seeking wahoos, and that's about as far from the truth for her as possible.
Matthew Heineman is the director and producer of a new film, A Private War, about the life of war correspondent Marie Colvin. Rosamund Pike portrays Colvin in the film.
I hate being in a war zone. But I also feel compelled. Compelled to see it for myself.
Heineman usually makes observational documentaries where the action unfolds before your eyes. But in order to tell Colvin's compelling story, he created A Private War as a narrative, trying to stay as true as possible to her life. Something that helped him do that was the deep connection he felt to Colvin, who he'd never met.
In the docs that I've made, you know, I've traveled to Mexico and covered the Mexican drug wars and been in shootouts and meth labs and torture chambers and all sorts of places that you don't necessarily want to be in. I made a doc on a group of activists rising up to expose the atrocities of ISIS. And so I've felt that same draw to cover these conflict zones and that same bizarre feeling of coming home to New York the next day and going to a party. And so, you know, I very much empathized with her experience and just felt like it was, you know, a film that I had to make. I also, you know, in this world that we're living in now, it's quite important to explore and examine the importance of journalism in this world of sort of fake news and sound bites. And so for me, the film is not just an homage to Marie, but an homage to people out there fighting for the truth, you know, and exposing atrocities around the world.
A lot of people look at international war correspondents or people who are, or even regular journalists, you know, but particularly this type of journalism as adrenaline seeking, you know, people who are just thrilled with this type of danger. And there's a much more complex portrait that you're trying to convey, particularly when it comes to her struggles. Can you tell us a little bit about how you portrayed her trauma in the film, like the nightmares that she was struggling with, the flashbacks, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these things she wrote about, you know, so we were able to pull on her own experiences and some of the her own nightmares that we had in her words, in her writing. Some of it, obviously, we had to use artistic license to try to, you know, get inside of her head and feel that pain. And, you know, that's some of those experiences are things that I've experienced. You know, I've had panic attacks. I've had images that I can't get out of my head from my documentary work. So, you know, in working with Rosamund Pike, who absolutely transformed herself into this role and did a, you know, phenomenal job in embodying who Marie was, you know, we would talk for hours often before shooting these scenes about what it's like to feel that, what it's like to go from this, you know, hyper-intense, hyperbolized world of war to the solitude of your home and that massive, massively divergent experience. That was something that was quite hard to personify in the film, but, you know, we at least tried to.
In the film, she resists getting treatment for her trauma. Why was that important to bring up? Why did you think that was her resistance to that was important to include in the film?
I think she was never able to really accept what was happening to her, what was happening to her mind, what was happening to her body. You know, she died at 56, but I think in her mind she was still 36. You know, and I think that's part of what the film is about. It's about that drive to continue to do your life's work, to follow your passions, despite every siren and every light and every person and every friend saying, stop, stop, stop. But she kept going. She couldn't stop, and she didn't stop. And ultimately, she paid, you know, the greatest price for that.
You mentioned Rosamund Pike getting into the role. Were there any other things that she did to really transform herself into Marie?
She was a big part of doing the research with me as well. I mean, you know, as we sort of went from friend to friend, you know, Roz was with me for a lot of that. And to see her, you know, approach all of these people almost as if Marie was approaching, you know, subjects for an article or a piece was amazing. And, you know, I think she sort of learned the process of being a journalist through a lot of that. She also transformed herself physically. You know, she's from London. She doesn't look a lot like Marie. So she had to learn, you know, this really unique Long Island accent that Marie had, which had a little bit of London in her, because she was an expat living there, and she had this sort of smoker's, you know, low voice. And then she also studied her physically. You know, she worked with a dancer to sort of examine how Marie moved and held tension in her neck and splayed her fingers when she, you know, gesticulated. And yeah, it was really incredible to see her transform into that role.
How do you approach the recreation of these war zones that Marie moves in throughout the film?
It was really, really important to me to try to make these war zones feel as authentic as possible. You know, we shot them all in Jordan. So Jordan was Sri Lanka, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and Syria. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, we cast and found and interviewed refugees who are living there from the various countries. So when she's in Syria, when she's in homes and walks into the shelter, what's called the widow's basement, which was sheltering women and children, you know, the women were telling their own real stories, and those were real tears, and they're really from homes. You know, there's a scene afterwards in which a young boy is brought into a hospital, and his father was also from homes. You know, he was at a protest with his nephew, his 2-year-old nephew, who was shot by a sniper bullet and bled out in front of him. And so when he came into that room, when he came onto that set, the trauma and the emotion that came out of him was almost unbearable for everyone. And again, those tears were real. And when he says, "God, why, that was him speaking. And I think, you know, Rosamund at one point almost couldn't handle it. And she walked off set and she said to me, you know, is this okay what we're doing? You know, the lines are so blurry. I don't know what, you know, is this a documentary? Is this, you know, I'm an actor. Like what is happening?
Like, is it exploitative?
Are we exploiting them? And I said to her, no, you know, this is what I do every day as a documentary filmmaker. You know, your human instinct is to give someone a hug or to give them space, but your job is to capture these moments. And the fact is that, you know, he wouldn't be here if he didn't want his story to be told.
Matthew Heineman is the director and producer of a new film about journalist Marie Colvin's life called A Private War. Matthew, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I was with a Libyan minister this morning. They're very much aware of the gathering storm outside.
There's a small clinic. You can't even really call it a clinic. It's an apartment that has been turned into a clinic. I mean, you have plasma bags hanging from coat hangers. So I watched a little baby die today. Absolutely horrific. His little tummy just kept heaving until he died. That is happening over and over and over.
It's a complete and utter lie that they are only going after terrorists. There are rockets, tank shells, anti-aircraft being fired in a parallel line into the city. The Syrian army is simply shelling a city of cold, starving civilians.
Top floor of the building I'm in was hit last week. The building next to me was completely obliterated. All the streets I've been on, I have not seen one military target. There simply aren't any.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.